We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Marshall, for reading that, that is a bunch of reading. That is a lot of work reading that, and I would be stumbling all over myself, which is what I'm going to do for the next few minutes, just stumble all over my words. But I'm really glad everyone's here today for the third week of Revelation Revealed. It's kind of different. It's kind of weird. We're actually reading the Bible. I don't know how churches got away from just reading the Bible together, but we have. And we're trying to correct that a little bit. We've got a text, anonymous. You can send your questions in, 214-856-0550. We want your questions. We're going to take some time after our altar time to answer some of these questions. I've already received some of them, and they're doozies. So you should just stick around to watch me sweat, right? All right. Don't be afraid of the book of Revelation. Don't be afraid of it. We've told you many times that Revelation 1 and 3 says, blessed are those that read it, hear it, and take to heart the words of this prophecy. So it's nothing to be afraid of. You are blessed by it. Week 1, we told you that the revelation is Jesus. It's the book of Revelation, not Revelations. And that singular revelation is Jesus. And then last week, we told you that there is a reason for the mysteriousness of Revelation. And here's why. The mystery is tactical. There's a tactical reason for its mystery. We talked about the mysterion, which is a word coined by who? Alexander the Great. All right. Proud nerd teacher here. All right. Alexander the Great coined the word mysterion for secret battle plans. And we talked all about that. There are things in Revelation that are mysteries to us. When is Jesus coming back for us? I don't know. What is all the symbolism about in Revelation? I don't know. Some of these things are simply God's secret battle plans. They are mysterion, but as Alexander the Great did, he revealed those plans when the time was right. And there are some things in Revelation, they are so shrouded purposely in mystery that they are only going to be revealed when the time is right. All right. But we told you last week, however, that the greatest part of God's mystery, the greatest part of God's secret battle plan has already been revealed. And that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's mysterion. He is the secret battle plan of God. And when you look in the New Testament, the word mystery shows up connected to Jesus over and over again. That word there is mysterion. And there's so much powerful things it says about the mysterion of God being Jesus. Amen. And we told you that you are included in God's mysterion, which is really exciting. We can understand how Jesus is God's secret battle plan. We can understand that, how he suddenly appears on earth and this carpenter suddenly becomes the Messiah of all things and the Savior of all things. What a surprise that is. Even a greater surprise is that you are included in God's secret battle plan. So guess what? You shouldn't wander through life aimlessly. You shouldn't wander through life saying, well, I guess I'm going to go work and I'm going to just come home and I'm going to cry as I eat my oatmeal for dinner. Right. You have purpose in your life. Shamar, do you do that? Don't do that anymore, okay? All right. The Bible says this, that great is the mystery, great is the mysterion of Christ in you. You're included in God's secret battle plan when Jesus Christ is fully living inside your life. So you're included in God's battle plan. Look at somebody and say, hey, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you. So remember, we want to try to answer your questions. It's 214-856-0550. Today, I'm going to spend some time talking about the enemy. What's the enemy's name? Satan. All right. I don't know. There's a couple movies out there where they have a character that him who must not be named. And they spend most of the movie, you know, referring to that guy. And they go, oh, you mean, oh, don't say his name. He gives him power and stuff. No, no, no. Not with Satan. No, you can say his name all you want. Doesn't give him a shred of authority. Doesn't give him any power. He is not who must not be named. All right? It's Satan. We're going to talk about Satan. I thought about showing you an old Saturday Night Live clip of the church lady. Right? Oh, I don't know. Who could it be? Satan? I thought about it, but y'all are much too sophisticated for that. So I didn't do it. And said, I just told you my random thoughts. You should know a thing or two about your enemy. You should know some stuff about him. Because guess what? He knows some stuff about you. Our enemy and our adversary. That's who he is. Our enemy and our adversary, says 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls along like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is your enemy. He is your adversary. He is a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says, and he's the father of lies. That's found in John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil. What an insult from Jesus. Whoa, big. All right. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Isn't there a little bit of truth in him? Not according to Jesus. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks with his native language. Jesus is saying the devil's native language is lying. You speak English. Some people speak Spanish. Some people speak French. He speaks lying. That's his language. All right. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Next, Revelations 12:9 says this. He leads the whole world astray. Oh, but not me, Pastor Fluid. I'm here at church, right? No. He leads the whole world astray. No, didn't you see me? I was playing a guitar solo during worship. Not me. No. He leads the whole world astray. Look at somebody and say, yeah, you definitely leading you astray. Right? We've all been led astray by him. Every one, all right? Revelations 12:9 says that the great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. He is a deceiver from the very beginning. He's been a deceiver. In Revelations 12:10, the very next verse says this, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the glory of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. What does that say about him? It says that he's an accuser. He's an accuser. The people that you love most, your brothers and sisters, those that are close to you, he is accusing them. And he does it just, I don't know, 9 to 5? 9 to 5 on weekdays, right? He gets holidays off? No, he does it day and night. He's constantly accusing us, constantly before God. Satan asks and desires to have access to you. Read this, Luke 22:31. He asks to sift you. We'll explain that in a second. Simon, Simon, this is Jesus speaking to Simon Peter. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He's asked. That's kind of crazy. That'll switch up your theology really quick. Satan has asked. Satan went up to God and asked, hey, Anda right there, I want to sift her as wheat. Marshall right over there, I want to sift him as wheat. What does sifting mean? Let's really quickly explain that. They would spread wheat on the ground, and then they would take a tool called a flail, and they would beat the wheat. They would beat it up and crack it up. And then they would throw the wheat up in the air, and the loose parts of the wheat, the chaff, would then fly off in the wind. That's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to beat you up and throw you up in the air and just let everything that God's ever done for you just float away. He wants every bit of your faith to float away. He wants everything that's good. He wants to just separate you, mess you up. He wants to beat on you. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, because guilt has been beating you up all week, and your past has been beating you up all week. And it just, he wants to do that to you. That's the devil. And he's asking to do that. Crazy stuff. All right. We know the story of Job, right? He asks to do that to Job. And that's a whole crazy theological conversation we don't have time for. But John chapter 10:10 tells us this about the devil, tells us about our enemy. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. The enemy, whoever your enemy is, in the context of this story that Jesus is saying here, has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is definitely Satan. He has never come to heal. He's never come to give. He's never come to build things up. He's never come to encourage. Not once. Tell me if I'm wrong, right? Right? Okay, good job. All right. He's a bad guy. You get this. He's the bad guy. All right. Knowing this about Satan, and there's so much more we could talk about, but knowing this, wouldn't it be wise to turn away from his plan? Would you agree? It would be wise to turn away from his plan. In fact, knowing this about this guy, wouldn't it be crazy not to turn away from his plan? We told you about God's mysterion last week. That's his secret battle plans, right? Satan has his own mysterion. We read it today. Satan has his own mysterion. Let's find it right here. We see a small hint of Satan's plan in Revelation 17 and 5. Let's throw that up on the screen right here. The title was written on her forehead, Mysterion. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. So what is that talking about? I'm sure I'll have that in the question area. I already know someone's texted that in. We're going to have that in there. But that's a mysterion. And that's the only place in the Bible where we find that Satan has his own mysterion. Every other mysterion referred to God. It was God revealing himself. It was God planning. It was God planning to send Christ. It was God planning to use you. It was God planning to rapture you and catch you up to him. All those mysterions we talked about last week, this one's Satan's. This one belongs to him. This does not belong to God. That is not God's plan right there. That's the Satan. That's the devil's plan right there. Revelation 17 and 5. He has his own mysterion. We don't quite fully understand it. Here's what you do need to know about his plan, though. We can't tell you everything about his plan because we don't know everything about his plan, but there are some things we know about his plan. Here they are. His plan is filled with plagiarism. His plan is filled with a lot of lying. And his plan is a total copycat of God's plan. In fact, I want to present to you the idea that Satan is the least most original creature ever created. I really believe that Satan is the least original creature in all of creation. I can't find one place where he's had an original thought, really. He always just kind of takes what God has and tries to make it his own. Let's see what I'm talking about in Isaiah 14:14. He says, I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like who? The Most High. He's looking up. He sees God. There's God sitting on top of the clouds. I'm going to do that. There's God. He's the Most High. I'm going to be like that. In this short little verse, you see all of Satan's plan. Every bit of it. It doesn't get more complicated than this. It doesn't get deeper than this. There's not like a secret, beautiful part of his plan like, oh, now I understand. I just didn't understand you, Satan. No, this is his entire plan. I want to be like the Most High. That's his entire plan. Let's go a little further in it. Satan said, while he was still one of God's archangels, that he wanted to be like the Most High. And he's still trying to be like the Most High. He has completely copied the plan of the Most High. Let's look at it. Our God is the Lion of Judah, right? Well, we've already read in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan goes around roaring like a what? A lion. What an original idea. God has his Christ, who is going to let rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's prophecy in Psalms and also in the book of Revelation. Well, Satan has his Christ also. He has his Antichrist, and he's going to attempt to rule all nations too. What an original idea, Satan. Wherever did you get that plan? God speaks to us through prophets, and Satan has his own false prophet. Oh, wow, Satan, great thinking. Our Savior indwells in us. Jesus Christ lives in us. It's the hope of glory. Well, guess what? Satan will indwell his people too. He will indwell the Antichrist and the false prophet. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Jesus said that. He says, I am the Father of one. So when you see Jesus, you're seeing him being indwelt by the Father. They are occupying the same space. Well, guess what? The same is going to be true of the Antichrist. When you see and hear the Antichrist, you're going to see and hear Satan in human form. What a copycat, plagiaristic move by Satan. God places the seal of his name where? I'm touching it, so it's the forehead, right? All right, good job. All right, guess where Satan puts his seal? He puts it on the forehead or on the hand. It's the mark of the beast, and it is his name, it says. God has his church as a beacon of truth. Guess what? Satan has his own church promoting Satan's truth. And we know his language, right? It's lying. He's got a false church. Satan's church is Mystery Babylon. That's the Mystery Babylon that we read about in Revelation 17. This list goes on and on, but I think you get it, that you've got this creator who created all things. He was the one that created the zebra, all right? He was the one that created this world. He created bumblebees, and we don't know how they fly. This is God. He's totally a creative, original entity. And then you've got Satan. I want to be like the Most High. In fact, I can't create my own people. I'll just steal God's people. Hey, Adam and Eve. You get the point. It goes on and on. Knowing this, wouldn't you turn away from his plan? Knowing this, wouldn't it be crazy to be committed to this guy's plan? Let's go a little further. Do you hate sickness? Do you hate disease? I mean, let's get real. We're talking about cancer. We're talking about AIDS. We're talking about worms that attack little children's bodies in third world countries, and they end up suffocating and choking to death. I'm going to ask you again. Do you hate that? Feel the pain of that? That's Satan's idea. That's his plan. Go on further. Do you hate lies? You hate that? You hate being lied to? You hate being hurt? Yeah. That's Satan's plan right there. Do you hate depression? Do you hate people that are so depressed in life that in order to make it, they have to pop some pills to change their moods? They need mood-altering drugs. Do you hate that, and where they can never have peace? You know whose plan that is? That is not God's plan. Do you hate divorce and betrayal? If you really hate divorce and betrayal, you hate Satan's plan. Do you hate abuse? Do you hate child abuse? Do you hate spousal abuse? Do you hate that kind of stuff? That is creepy, awful stuff. I hate it. That's Satan's plan. That's what he thinks the world should be filled with. Do you hate greed and corruption? That's Satan's plan. Do you hate hunger? Do you hate the thought of people dying and starving and they have a lack of water? Do you hate that? It's happening right now. You hate that? That's Satan's plan. Do you hate lives lost to addiction? Do you hate hope being stolen from people's lives? Do you hate opening up the newspaper every day and seeing the awful, awful things that are going on? Do you hate opening up that newspaper, turning on your television, and seeing natural disasters like tornadoes in Moore, Oklahoma, or a typhoon that's wiping out innocent people who have done nothing in the Philippines? Do you hate that? That's Satan's plan. That's how he thinks this world ought to be run. Because when God created this world, none of that stuff was here. But Satan came and said, I want to be like the Most High. And what an idiot, because in the end, he's nothing like the Most High. That's all his plan. I don't have time to go over this, but receive this sentence. The worst thing you can do in life is attribute Satan's plan to God. That'll mess you up. That'll mess up your theology. Listen to me. God is not behind any of these things. That is Satan's plan. Knowing all of this, wouldn't it be stupid to be following Satan's plan? If this was suddenly revealed to you, wouldn't you do your best to turn away from that plan? Satan's behind all these things. Satan is behind every bad thing on earth. When the Lord created the earth, he stepped back and said, it is bad. No? What did he say? Good. It is good, right? The bad all traces back to Satan. All of it. All of it, all of it, all of it. I'm very passionate that you know that. I hope you know that. If you got more questions about that, and everybody does, please, I love to talk about that because we serve a good God who loves us. I really believe it with all my heart. The difference in Satan's plan and God's plan is one simple thing. Well, besides the creativity and the power, here it is, motivation. Motivation's the big difference between Satan and God's plan. Satan has copied everything he can about God's plan. He has really sat in the classroom and looked over at God's paperwork the entire time and go, what'd you get for A? All right, fill in that bubble. All right, da, 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 all right. He has done that, but you know, there was one thing he's never been able to copy, and it's God's motivation. Satan is motivated by what? Self. I want to be like the Most High. I want to ascend to the clouds. I want an Oompa Loompa now. No one? What? Snozzberries? What? Yeah. All right. If you don't know what that is, then you weren't born in my generation. All right. God is motivated not by self, but by selflessness. God is motivated by love. You see, Satan's motivated by self, and it turns into hate. But God, he's motivated by selflessness. He's motivated by you, and it's love. God's every motive is love. If there is one thing, if you didn't know today, I would love for you to walk away from this church knowing this. God's every motive is love. And it can be really confusing because Satan and all of his tricks and this messed up, broken world, it can really mess you up. But I would love for everybody to know that God's every motive, everything he does, is love. Knowing this, wouldn't you turn away from Satan's plan? Knowing this, wouldn't you try to turn towards God's plan? What is terrifying is that many people won't turn away from Satan's plan. They're going to keep turning towards Satan's plan. Revelation 16:9 tells us this. They were seared by this intense heat, and they cursed the name of who? God, who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent. They refused to turn around and glorify God. I'm going to be talking more about this next week. But right now, I want you to get this idea that even in that midst of that situation, they refused to turn away from Satan's plan. Even with God pulling at people's hearts, even with God sending Jesus Christ and offering his blood, even with all the signs and wonders in the book of Revelation, some people will not turn around. I don't understand it. So let's ask this question. Have you turned around? Have you turned around? With all that you've been exposed to, with all the knowledge you have you really turned away from Satan's plan? Have you really turned towards God's plan? That is a huge question. You really need to know the answer to that question. That is not, kind of. No, you need to know the answer to that question. Because we're talking about eternity here. Are you living according to God's plan or Satan's plan? I'm going to ask for Sarah to come. I'm drawing to a close right here. When we see Jesus, everything changes. When you see him, everything changes. When we see Jesus, it doesn't just change the present, although it does. It does change the present. It transforms our future, and it redefines our past. It changes the present, but it transforms your future. You have a different destiny after you find Jesus. But then after you find Jesus, you look back and it redefines everything in your past. I'm saying that when you find Jesus, you can have a different present. Some of you here right now, you need a different present. You need to find Jesus today. When you find Jesus, you can have a different future. Some of you worried about future today. You need that. And when you find Jesus, you can have a redefined past. I'm going to spend the last closing minutes talking about this redefining of the past. Revelation 19:11 says this: I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. John sees Jesus. He's the guy who wrote Revelation. And he sees a rider on a white horse. And that rider is called Faithful and True. That's his name. Faithful and True. In this moment, seeing Jesus, it redefines your life. You're going to see this moment. You're going to see this moment. Even if you die, you're going to see this moment. Because the dead in Christ are going to be here at this moment. We're talking about Revelation 19. My grandmother who's gone to be with the Lord, she's going to be there at this moment. She's going to see him and she's going to know, there's the one that's faithful and true. In this moment, it redefines your life. Guess what? At this moment, you no longer see your failures. You see his faithfulness. I needed that. I need that. I don't have to look at those failures anymore. Those failures are so overwhelmed by his faithfulness. Instead of going, oh, what an idiot I was, I go, you love me still? In this moment, seeing Jesus, you realize to the full extent that he is faithful. In this moment, when you see Jesus, you realize that he is true. So let's get this down right here. He's faithful and he's true. And when he shows up, it shows in this moment that he was faithful to all of mankind from the very beginning. When we see Jesus, we're going to go, oh my Lord, he brought us all the way. There are people that are going to be in the grave that are brought up. Why? Because he's faithful. He's not going to forget them. And this God, he's faithful and he's also true. When you see him, in this moment, you're going to realize every promise, God, was true. Everything you said you were going to do, you've done it. You're true. In this moment, you're no longer going to be going, yeah, but is he going to do that next thing? No. In this moment, every promise fulfilled. Every promise true. Everything that he ever said he was going to do, he's been faithful and true to it. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. And there he is coming in on a white horse, defeating the enemy for us. Faithful and true. Meanwhile, can I just point out that Satan, his promises never came true. Not one of them. Not one of them. In that moment, God's promise is true. Satan's an absolute knockoff, falling apart lie. And God's promises, faithful. Satan, he's running away, being thrown into an abyss. Knowing this, I ask you, whose plan will you follow? knowing this, because this moment is going to happen one day, but you get to decide today whose plan you're going to follow. Isaiah 14 and 14, we read this one, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The next verse, verse 15, but you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. See, Satan's plan was, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. But you know what he's going to achieve really through his plan? He is going to descend to the depths. And everyone that goes with his plan, everyone that trusts his plan as faithful and true, will go there also. But Jesus Christ, he's faithful and true. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped the Lord together. And we receive the Word of God together. And I've tried to go really quick. And we've read a lot of Scripture together. But now we do this third thing. And it is really special. Because guess what? We can lead you in worship. Just try to do our best to provide some good music for you. And we can do our best to try to preach you a good sermon. And inspire you and reveal truth to you. But this is really, this moment right here, the third thing, where you choose whose plan you're going to follow. Don't choose Satan's plan. Don't choose your plan, but choose God's plan. That third thing we do is that everybody talks to God. We invite everybody in this place to come talk to God. In most churches in Christendom today, they had church today, and they invited only those that felt like lousy sinners to come to the altar and pray. That's what they did. And then they prayed with them. And I'm thankful for that. But guess what? Those people walked to the front. They were either people that have never found Jesus before, or there were people that did something so awful this week that they felt like worthless human beings that Jesus didn't love. So they better come pray. That's what happened all throughout churchdom today. Meanwhile, Christians sat in their chairs and watched them go, oh, it's about time they went and prayed. It's like, look at those sinners go. Meanwhile, who's a sinner? All of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you have an altar call for all sinners, you better be getting up and coming, because we're all sinners, right? So that's what we do around here. We're going to open up this altar. Sarah's going to sing. And we would like you to step away from your chair. And when you step away, you're going to be stepping towards the Lord. And you're going to be saying, God, I choose your plan. If you want prayer in this place, you come in the first 2 feet of this altar. If you don't come in the first 2 feet of this altar, we're not going to bother you. That's my promise to you. We will not bother you. We want you to talk to the Lord on your own, in your own way. All right? These altars.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.